Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hey, welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, the 7th day of May, 2021. That's right, May 7th, 2021. I'm Doug Hagman.
Say hello to my little friend.
Say hello to my little friend. What? It's Friday.
It is. You still got that voice, though.
Yeah, I know. I'll get rid of it. I mean, look. You know what? If I wasn't taking Health Master supplements, it would have hit me a lot harder. Whatever this ninja virus was that came in and took over. Tell me, man. You know, here's the thing. You get grandchildren. It's not those grandchildren running around, you know, stuff coming out of their ears and mouth and eyes. And I'm kidding, of course. You know, they're very well groomed, well kept. But,
kids do get sick.
They do. Whatever. It doesn't matter. So a couple of announcements real quick. Now, last Sunday, we should have had a Patreon meeting, but we did not. Why didn't we have one last Sunday night? Oh, I was out of it.
That was your first bad day of sickness.
Yeah. I was seeing monkeys. That's right. So we didn't have it. So, yeah, I apologize. I mean, it was like Fantasia back in the, never mind.
It wouldn't have been a fun meeting.
No, it would have been a very short one.
It would have been like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a bad day, actually. Yeah. And then Monday was equally bad and Tuesday. But you know, I'm fine now. Anyway, so, what I was getting at was this. This Sunday is Mother's Day. And you know, folks, look. Oh man, I love mothers. I mean, I really do. They're special people. If you're a mom out there, happy Mother's Day. And if you have a mom still, reach out and make sure that you tell your mom how much you love her. So we're going to have to postpone again because of Mother's Day. And because so it's going to be a week from Sunday, the Patreon meeting. All right. And I apologize. I don't make the dates, you know, with respect to how they fall, but
that means we'll have two pretty much back to back. So,
which, and you know, by that time, this falls in line pretty well with things that are happening across the country. So we have a lot to talk about. So here, that's number one. Announcement number one. So no Patreon meeting this Sunday. It's going to be a week from Sunday. And I got to talk to Stan. I want to make sure I'm not encroaching on Stan's time, but, Stan Dale's, Patreon meeting, but I want to talk with him as well. All right. So there's that. And then, folks, I am so excited. I mean, I am delighted finally in print in the dark of night. Now look, it took me a long, long time to write this book for a lot of reasons, but you want to talk about some stuff that came, you know, to get this book out. It was, I just can't even tell you how much it took out of me, this book.
It's pretty long too.
It's, but it's a quick read. I mean,
yeah, I don't mean slow. I mean, page wise.
Yeah, it's
almost 400 pages.
It's three something.
373.
Yeah, that's it. 373. But folks, do me a favor, seriously, and you want to know what's going on behind the scenes. Now, I had to change names, of course. Stained by Blood was my first book, and that was about the murder of my uncle, and then from that, what I got into because of that. And then this kind of picks up where that left off, except it can stand by itself. So you don't have to get the first one to understand this. Now, there's two ways you can get this. You can get it right away on Amazon. You can go to Amazon and get it in 3 days. All right. And, there it is right there on Amazon. And if you do that, you can get it in paperback or Kindle. And do me a favor. Leave, after you read it, rate it. Honestly, I'm not asking for any, you know, weighted, ratings. You honestly tell people what you think of it. All right. But this is inspired by true events. You can get, I think, 14 pages, the first 14 pages on the, or seven. I don't know. There's, you can look inside and you can see the start of it. It's pretty cool how they do that. But, I prefer the paperback version as opposed to the Kindle version because I can hold it and I can bookmark it and, you know, show other people and stuff. But anyway, there it is right there. But, so it's there. It really took a lot out of me. There's a third book coming. Yes, it's coming. And this, by the way, I want to thank Russ Dizdar, Craig Sawyer, Steve Quayle, Dan Holdings, Kevin, Matt. My gosh, there's so many people that I want to thank. Eric the Tech and others. Just thank you, because to make this book a reality was really tough. And there's a lot of stuff that I was going through at the time that would set me back months. And then, of course, you know, the stuff that really happened, they had to make sure to talk to an attorney, and you might want to change this or that in terms of names and places. But there it is. There it is right there. In the Dark of Night, please. Please, Amazon. Or you can go to Hagman Store. There it is at Hagman Store. Starting on the 17th, that's when I expect the shipment of the books to come in. I'll sign and
so this subscribe. Is technically a pre-order.
This is a pre-order that you're looking at, right, for the 17th. On the 17th, the books will come in. I will immediately sign them pursuant to your requests on the website or through the what Erica set up there and send them right out.
And we ordered 100, and those are almost gone, so...
I don't have them yet, but they're gone. Almost.
I think there's about 30 left. All right. If you want one, get it. And we'll work on getting some more too. But right now, this first run, they're running out.
Yeah. And I want to thank you so much. But, you know, you talk about Pizzagate and you talk about spirit cooking and stuff like that. And people say, oh, that's a bunch of hooey. Oh, really? Oh, walk with me through a couple of, well, one murder investigation back in 1987. Walk with me through that, will you please? And I do take you through that in 1987. All right. So there's that Patreon. And of course, let's see what else. Okay. A couple of headlines that we really need to get into. Randy Taylor's with me, riding along with me, but I want to mention this as well. Dr. Fauci, you talk about crimes, okay? The more I look into Dr. Fauci, the worse it gets. Lila Rose blasts Dr. Fauci for crimes against children over funding fetal experiments. You look at some of the stuff that's taking place with respect to Planned Parenthood, the Center for Medical Progress. God bless those people. God bless David DeLayden. It blows my mind that you've got Christians who say, well, you know, DeLayden's a liar and stuff, and shame on him. And they trip over, they disregard the fact that Planned Parenthood is murdering unborn children and then selling the body parts and using the body parts. And Fauci's into this up to his eyeballs.
But it's my body, my choice.
And my body, my choice. And you know, that's going to lead
goes into with the mask too.
With a mask and the quote vaccine passports with not a vaccine. You get the idea, right? So I'm ready to draw down on anyone. I'm telling you right now. Let's bring out the artillery. Make sure our ammo's dry, our powder's dry, and let's go. Let's get it on. Anyway, let's bring Randy Taylor on. Randy, how are you, sir? Because I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
I'm good, buddy. I'm with you. I'll go shotgun with you.
I'll tell you what. I'm done with this. I'm done with what I'm seeing. I'm just done with this. I'm absolutely.
It's complete manipulation of the people in this country.
Yeah, exactly.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
Anyway, I just wanted to, before we even get started here, to all you moms out there, happy Mother's Day. Moms are special. I think it takes a lot of work, a lot of dedication to be a mom. I think it's a pretty tough job, and the ones that are doing it and have done it, you definitely earned your stripes. So happy Mother's Day. Any Christian or so-called Christian that tries to defend anybody that has anything to do with these abortions and selling of body parts has a lot of nerve calling themselves a Christian. We're seeing that more and more. I'm a Christian. They all do it. The Democrats are really the ones that make me crazy are the Pelosi's and the Ted Lieu's, and they talk about Christianity. But if you look at anything in their lives, anything in how they do their jobs, any of the decisions they make in the legislative houses, their moral compass, that's a pretty loose qualification. I don't know what they're using to qualify themselves as Christians. I really don't. That's between them and their maker. I'm just saying from a distance, I don't see it. When this whole Planned Parenthood thing, it's murder for hire is what it is. It's state sanctioned murder.
That's right.
And I don't even know if I was going to take on the government physically, I could, that right there would give me enough ammo. That would be a reason. That reason enough to march on Washington is just the killing of the babies.
Yeah,
that's genocide. God said, "Go forth and multiply." He didn't say, "Go forth, have sex, and when it's an inconvenience, kill the baby."
And Sanger, I have to point out, Sanger, of course, you know, made sure all the Planned Parenthood facilities were in the black and minority areas of the United States.
Yeah, it isn't white cops we need to worry about killing off the black population.
No, that's very true.
These clinics are killing more black Americans than anyone. Yep. Anything. There's no other entity that's killing off our precious citizens and future citizens.
Yep.
You know, I'm appalled. I think that when we started doing that and we legislated it into law, I think that's when we really turned our back on God as a nation. And I think we've been paying for it ever since, to be honest with you. One thing I really admired about Donald Trump is he did not dance around that subject. He confronted it head on.
Yep.
And spoke his mind about it, where most politicians will do they would rather talk about calluses on their mother's feet than to talk about abortion, because it's a really sore subject with people. And they're so afraid of losing votes. You know, and I've even met, and I'm going to say this, and I know a Christian, so-called Christian, that when the subject of abortion, this person I've known all my life, and the subject of abortion came up, and she said, "Well, I'm not so much against abortion anymore. I think it's between them and God." And I was really shocked to hear this person say that.
All right, I'm slow. It's between them and, between them and God.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Let me think about that for a second.
I know. I had to sit there and try and digest that. And this is a person that all her life that I knew was against abortion. And supposedly a Christian. And I was just stunned. I was like, what? So.
Wow. Okay.
Well, now it's between her and God.
Yeah. I guess being adopted makes it an extra special subject with me. But I'm sorry, it appalls me when Paul, and I remember Obama saying when he was campaigning and before his first term, how he used the word inconvenienced. If one of his daughters were pregnant, he didn't want them to be inconvenienced.
Who was that?
Obama.
Obama. All right.
Yeah. During a campaign. He was campaigning.
That's what I thought you said. I'm checking myself here.
Yeah. Right. It was during he was campaigning, and I remember him saying that. And I was just, to To reduce the value of human life.
Don't forget, Hunter Biden was in there too. You know, never mind. I won't go there.
Still, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking at these people and I'm thinking, you want to lead the country. You're the people that our children are supposed to look up to. You know, you're supposed to be the leaders, the thought leaders, the morality leaders. We don't have any, and that's both sides of the aisle. I'm done with all of them. These politicians, the ones in Washington, I did see some great things. This was on Reuters, and I was just getting ready to talk to you about it before the show when we went to the show. This is a great analysis. This is in Reuters. Titled Analysis Out of Power in Washington, Republicans Pursue Hard Right Agenda Across the Country.
I saw that.
That is good news.
Well, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you and I could talk about this, but I think that the politicians out of Washington will have more power in the private sector to push a conservative agenda across the country than those in power in Washington because of that, because for a lot of reasons, but one of which, and especially, is because of the handling and ownership of the positions themselves and the infiltration and the all that other stuff. But, you know,
but there's a strong dominance of conservatives at the state level, in the state houses,
yes,
across the country, and that's big.
Which,
because always telling people, local, start local. You can't grab an AR-15 and march to Washington, okay? Because one, you don't have a plan, you don't have a target. You just a firefight in that case isn't going to solve anything. This stuff has to be solved state level. If we're ever going to have a decent election again, if we're ever going to get to the bottom of the election of last year, these things are going to have to happen at state level, because in Washington, and this is conservatives included in the legislative houses, that election's over and done. They don't care.
Sure. Yeah.
And a lot of them, we've talked about this before, Doug, I think they don't care because they're afraid that their own election might get examined. Some of them that are sitting in seats that maybe there was fraudulent votes put them there.
Okay. Well, and I agree with that. And one of the things, you know, independent of one another, we saw that Reuters article, and I think we're on the same page with that. So when I was looking at a couple of things, I found a website called Populist Revolt, populistrevolt.com. Folks, you can look it up yourself, but here it is on the screen for those driving and listening and not watching. It's populistrevolt.com. Now, I don't know much about this website. I don't know. I didn't have time to really get into this, but I do know, I like what I see. Live free or die trying. And I like that motto because, you know, I'm done. Frankly, I'm done talking. You want to go? Let's go. All right. I'm ready. Okay. But anyway, under that motto, call to action in Michigan, call now, New Hampshire petition. I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, all right, this is everything that we're focused on a local level. When I say local, yes, I'm talking about state and county. Yep. Maricopa County. And if you scroll down even more, swing state news, Arizona audit news, Georgia, Michigan, you've got New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. These are the places that we're going to make a difference. And I'll tell you something else. The Bidens, the Obamas, the globalists, all these people are scared witless over Arizona. And Obama, Joe Obama, his Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, is threatening the Arizona audit. And people better take notice. Liz Harris, by the way, who has something, a website called itsmellsfunny.com, she's out there canvassing Maricopa County, canvassing, merely taking a poll. Who lives here? Did you vote? Or who lived? Like three questions, harmless questions, poll questions. And the Merrick Garland, that piece of work, threatened to file criminal charges against her and in the against that canvassing, which is separate from the audit. But you know, they talk about transparency. Randy Taylor, the transparency is amazing down there. Go ahead.
Well, that and you hear about frivolous lawsuits like that and criminal charges. Those are signs of desperation. Those are like people that file lawsuits just to slow you up, saying business. Oh, well, they don't. We know they're either going to make this move. Let's file a lawsuit. You know, we're seeing some desperation there. What's really going to be very, very important down there in Maricopa County is the hard proof. If I had my way, I would have every last state audited on the voting from last year. Not just seven states like they were talking, or five states. From the get-go, we've pushed that every state, well, especially even up in New England, where you would assume that Biden won.
New Hampshire.
I'd like to see it. I would like to see it because they sprung those on us too quick. You know, it's like, okay, voting's closed in Maine or whatever, and then boom, it was instant his color. And I'm like, what? You know, the polls been closed. The place has been closed for 30 seconds. You know, I sit there, I look at it, and what state is it up there, in New England, that takes all night to get the voting results? There's like eight people live in the state. Which one is that?
Yeah, I'm
like Rhode Island or something. It's one of them, and they do it every election.
Yeah,
we have to wait till like 3 a.m. for this. They were the first poll closed, and then, like I said, there's like eight people live in the state. And we can't get the election results out of them every time, every 4 years. Yeah. I just wait for that one.
I don't know if they're too busy drinking beer over there in the saloon. But yeah.
Man.
One of the things, so here's what's happening across the United States. You're having audits. Now, just real quick, these are not recounts. Okay. In other words, where we're going to recount, because if you, those are meaningless. These are forensic audits. And I'll say this. Let me try to describe this. You have a ballot. You press the buttons on the machine and it marks the ballot. You get a hard copy of the ballot. They take that ballot and they put it in the tabulator. And at the end of the night, what's supposed to happen is they count up the votes on the tabulator. They shut it down and a tape comes out. So the tape should match the number of ballots, which, you know, that's the count. Okay. And I said that there's more to it, but essentially that's what happens. Okay. So anyway, that's useless. That's like, you know, teats on a bull. Okay. They're useless. Or you lactating. Never mind. Randy Taylor lactating. Or Eric lactating. Yeah.
Bad visual.
You know what? it's okay. I'm going to blame it on my whatever that I'm taking here with the straw. All right. So here's, sorry about that. This is a family show too.
It was.
There it goes, you know, I didn't tell you about the letter I got from my satellite. Never mind. Anyway, just kidding. Let's take a look at this update about Arizona, because Arizona, Maricopa County is going to be the first county to fall, first state to fall. And that's going to show the fraud, the depth and width and breadth of the fraud. And the left is so afraid of this. Let's take if you don't mind, can we do a 4 minute check?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. This is an update from Dr. Kelly Ward out of Arizona. And again, folks, the left, they're scared witless about this. Here it is.
Right. Hello, everyone. It is time for America's Audit Update from the Republican Party of Arizona. I'm your chairwoman, Dr. Kelly Ward. Now, I know everyone has been chomping at the bit for our next update, and I apologize for the delay. Some of you may not know this, but I am a physician, and I've been seeing patients all morning. We do have some ominous developments to report today, though, as the forensic audit in Maricopa County is under what is probably the most serious assault by the Democrats to date. Now, when I mentioned over the last few days that no good would come from allowing Secretary of State Katie Hobbs and her so-called representatives onto the audit floor to observe the process, I meant it. And now we know why. We reported here that Hobbs didn't send officials from her office to observe the audit, as you might expect. She sent attorneys from well-known partisan attack groups like the Brennan Center and Project Democracy to do her bidding while posing as representatives of Arizona voters. It's even been said she sent in people who claimed to be from the press. It's nothing but a Democrat ruse. They've been trying to set a trap all along because after failing in state court, they cry out for unconstitutional federal meddling that they hope could very possibly put an end to this audit. Hobbs is now conniving with Biden's Department of Justice and its Civil Rights Division to attempt to bring federal monitors into Arizona or to possibly take legal action against this audit. Hobbs has sent a laundry list of complaints, the same lies, the same wild accusations that were heard and dismissed out of hand by our courts in Arizona to the Arizona Senate. Hobbs has never had any interest in observing the audit. She's a partisan hack using taxpayer dollars to do Democrat partisan bidding to try to end the state Senate's audit. It's no secret there. But what the Democrats couldn't get in our Arizona courts, they're now attempting to get from Biden's politicized Justice Department. Their pitch? Lack of security. Despite dozens of security cameras monitoring the audit at all times and 19 armed guards protecting the premises and the ballots. Compare that to security at the Maricopa Tabulation Center. Why don't you do that, DOJ? They also made accusations of voter intimidation by the auditors, going door to door, targeting the minority community. They also say there's ballot tampering by counters. All lies, all hearsay, all fake news from complicit media, all dismissed by the courts due to lack of evidence. It all begs the question we've been asking from the very first days following last November's election. What are the Democrats afraid of and what are they hiding? Why can't the American people take a look at an election? Review all the ballots, make sure the machines were operating properly and that there was no tampering involved. Why? Why is transparency such a problem for them? Why won't they join with us and participate in the audit rather than trying their best to end it at all costs? Unfortunately, we know the answers. And that's why we cannot, we will not be intimidated, and we must finish America's audit. Donate what you can to the link below. We need your help.
All right.
Share this
folks,
video.
Folks, this link will be on the in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Randy Taylor, two things real quick, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. It just came out recently that the Maricopa County officials, that whole county, 2.1 million people, 2.1 million ballots, no one in the election office, no one running that election in Maricopa County had administrative level access to the machines. No one, think about that for a second. No one had administrative level access to the tabulation and voting machines. It was all user access. You guys know about computers. You know the difference between administrative and user. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the hard drives. Where the information was stored, taken away by we don't know who every single night. Remember pre-voting and then the night of the vote? We don't know where they went, who had them, who had custody of them. No chain of custody. And then you've got the left freaking out. And we'll go on with that here shortly. Randy Taylor, your thoughts on this and you know where we're at. Go ahead, brother.
She's absolutely right. Why they're afraid? There's a couple reasons. This is my humble opinion. The first thing would be precedent. That's what they're afraid of. All right. If this is found and they expose it, this is going to set a precedent. that's a precedent that in each state, if someone wants to challenge voting results or do audits on machines or to anything like that, any of us that have been in a courtroom know that they throw precedents at you. And judges rely on them. Lawyers depend on them. They're set for a reason because, okay, well, that's the precedent. That's what we do in this normal situation. So the precedent is what scares the left. And they'll stop at nothing. There's no transparency from the left. It's everything that has to, because if I wanted to defend myself, let's say I was accused of murder, I would do everything to defend myself. Well, you know what I'm saying? I would open every window to you as an investigator, as a detective, to show you that I did not do this.
Right, right.
I have nothing to hide. You know, you want to lie to, you know, and I don't even like lie detector tests, but I'd take one. You know, because yeah. if you have nothing to hide, at the end of the day, you have nothing to hide. If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. These people know that there was fraud last November. They try and make you sound like a conspiracy theorist. And I'll tell you right now, even in other countries, if you watch the news from different sources around the world, anybody that questions the election the election of last year is a right wing, whatever. Okay. We are conspiracy theorists. We are lying, and we are doing it to like overthrow the voting system.
Which is why Liz Cheney is being flushed down the proverbial sewer. Liz Cheney, that neocon. Folks, you know about that, right? So, yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. And to that end, too, we have another brief video. This Rachel Maddow. Maybe I was right the first time. I don't want to play the whole thing, but.
Mad cow,
right. And by the way, folks, Randy Taylor and I, are you on board? You and me, we're going to be doing some special reports from my office, from your office. We're doing some special reports here over the next several days. Hopefully when I, you know,
we're going to step out of just with, you know, the show format.
Right.
There's that schedule for the week. And then Doug and I are going to do some, armchair chats on some different subjects
because things
that you want to sit in on and listen.
And the reason for that, there is a lot of information based on Randy Taylor's investigations he's done and Randy Taylor's surveillance and other things going on in mine as well that you folks haven't heard about. So please bookmark HagmanReport.com. And, support us as well, because there's a lot of stuff going on you folks don't know about. And so that's one thing. But I also want to give a shout out real quick, to people who understand what's going on. Karen from Rome, Italy, listening. God bless you, Karen. I love you. Ricky, you've been through so much. I love you too, Ricky. And, the only thing I'm going to ask you is what's for supper tonight? God bless you, everything you've been through. And Randy Taylor, you know these people as well. Okay, so I want to get that. So, yes, there's a lot of stuff going on. All right, and thanks for allowing me, you know, my ADHD taking a left turn there. Let's show what Rachel Maddow is saying about these audits, because you mentioned it, and I think as painful as this is, people need to understand what the left, what your neighbors are hearing, what your grandparents and parents are hearing about what's taking place. And this is all BS. So, and we'll pause it briefly just for some commentary. Go ahead and hit that when you're ready, Eric.
All right, though. Again, this is a document by Douglas Logan. Still online today. It's billed as the facts and details of election fraud in the 2020 election. Among those facts and details detailed in the document, Douglas Logan produces this evidence that the Chinese have been plotting this since 1963, since Joe Biden was in college. Chinese goals in 1963 to take over America without firing a shot. This is part of his election fraud facts and details. His evidence for the Chinese plotting this in 1963 is something from the John Birch Society that was posted on something called the website, which you yourself can now purchase for the low, low cost of $74,999 if you want.
All right,
but
stop,
it, you know, it's all here.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. All right, number one. Those are communist goals from 1963, read into the congressional record by Representative Herlong. And those are stated goals of the communists. That's not from some John Birch website, although they did have it. That website has nothing to do with anything. And her yuck yucks are a bunch of is a bunch of crap. Go ahead, Randy Taylor.
Well, I was just looking at her picture, and if I'm understanding correctly, that Rachel Maddow photo that you left up on the screen for a second, that's the photo that they use in the emergency room if you show up and you've had an erection that lasts more than 4 hours. That'll kill it.
our apologies to the affiliates listening, CTN especially.
It's amazing. They'll sit there and she's sitting there hammering on a site because it's small, because it's, you know, to her is invaluable. It's not CNN. But you know what? There's probably more truth on that little website than right. CNN could ever produce.
But the whole thing, now, Douglas Logan is the head of Cyber Ninjas. And they made fun of the name Cyber Ninjas. All right. So how about shut up? Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go on, if you don't mind, a little bit more. And we'll stop it for appropriate commentary. Go ahead.
The facts and details of the fraud at .com. Found out they planned their attack on the 2020 election back in 1963.
They did.
Yeah, how are you going to refute that, you commies? Have you checked .com?
No, that has nothing to
Maybe
do with
it's
anything.
Now owned by Hugo Chavez. In this document, again, which you can still get online, Mr. Logan continues at length with this conspiracy theory about Dominion voting systems and communism and Venezuela and blah, blah, blah. It's the exact conspiracy theory that led to the billion-dollar defamation lawsuits against Trump lawyers Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and lots of other people and entities. He even goes on to name this specific employee of Dominion voting systems as the real villain, saying this guy was overheard telling his Antifa buddies that he would rig the election against Trump. And needless to say, that is a completely made-up
Randy claim. Taylor. Do you remember that from? Do you remember that the Project Veritas video?
Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
Is that a yuck yuck?
No, so it's not. There's nothing made up there because Rachel Maddow says. I mean, Rachel Maddow seems like a nice young man, but she's. This is typical CNN. This is propaganda. We've talked about this. CNN is nothing but a propaganda arm for the government anymore. Most of your mainstream media, there's an agenda in play. And yes, this has been going on since 1963. This, honestly, I would go back. China's designs on us will go, in my opinion, go back to the Korean War.
And before that, but yes, the Korean War.
Yeah. Absolutely, because we interfered in something. And that really got under their skin. And we've been an arch enemy of them ever since. People talk about Russia's the enemy. Russia is not the enemy. The enemy is China. At the end of the day, if I look at the population of Russia and I look at the population in China, there's more Christians in Russia than there are in China.
Yep.
Even with the population like it is, okay? Russia used to be our Cold War enemy. I understand that. I was in the military. Everything we trained for had some sort of Russian connotation to it. I got that. Okay. But things changed with Gorbachev. Things changed after Russia collapsed financially. When it used to be the USSR. Okay. Yep. Things changed when that wall came down in Berlin. Things changed. The boogeyman was no more.
Well, and this is in large part because Communist China has a template for global takeover that involves credit score, social credit score, managing every part of our lives. Russia, as it stands right now, along with the United States, under President Trump, said, no, we're not going to be a part of this. We're not going to be absorbed into this Borg of a one world order, right?
I mean, thus labeled an enemy.
Right. There you go.
Anybody that stood up or they even thought would stand up to the New World Order. I mean, let's go back and look at the Arab Spring. Okay. And invading Iraq. Then Gaddafi. These were all known yet manageable enemies. They were manageable. Gaddafi was manageable. Hussein, manageable. Honestly, Assad in Syria, manageable. We could manage them. It's know your enemy. Well, we knew. Whatever was behind them, if we knocked it. And the reason that Saddam was in power all so long, they were afraid of who was going to be next if we took him out. The point is, these were all men that no way possible would they accept a new world order that wasn't a Muslim caliphate. There's no way.
Or facsimile thereof.
Right. There's no way. Oh, they're all for one world government. Don't get me wrong on that. They were all for that, but they wanted a Muslim caliphate. Same thing with Iran, Syria, all the stuff that went down in Egypt with Mubarak. You sit down and you look at the Arab Spring. All that was doing was toppling dictators to weaken those lands so they could be sucked up under this new world order.
And Gaddafi, at the time, Hillary went in there and spanked him and took him, or not spanked him, actually killed him.
Yeah.
Okay. Gaddafi, and I don't know how many people know this, in addition to the financial stuff, but he was actually providing actionable intelligence on Muslim terrorists all across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And that, we couldn't have that. And any time it wasn't acted upon by Gaddafi's 100% information, vetted information, of course, that made Gaddafi speak, and we couldn't have that, so they shut him up. But go ahead.
Well, it's like going back to our days in counterterrorism, the prisoners and people that were renditioned, we sent them to Syria. We sent them to Egypt.
That's
because
true.
We didn't want the CIA. Our CIA was taking a lot of heat over interrogation techniques. Well, okay, we'd snatch them up, stick them on an airplane. In fact, I'm not even going to get into it. There was a company that specialized in that and delivering these people to Syria and to Egypt and Jordan for interrogation. And then suddenly, Assad's the bad guy.
I'll just say this, 5 days of non-talking, and Randy Taylor goes in 5 minutes later, you got the entire, playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You and I could do an entire 2-hour show and not even scratch the surface of what happened from 9/11 forward politically. Forget the wars and all that, except as tools to push political policy and American foreign policy, which was being directed by George Bush Sr., who is one of the major architects to the New World Order.
And
Bush Sr.,
yeah.
the day he died, I shed no tears.
Yeah, I didn't.
I really didn't.
Nope.
I really didn't. And here's the sad part. I was buffaloed by these people for years into believing that we were doing the right thing until you really, this is what happens when you start getting into counterterrorism, you really get deep into it and you start dealing with different agencies, different people, different layers within the government. You start to see things that make you question things. You'll hang up the phone or you'll sit there and you'll stare at an email and go, what? Because, like, you just see things, and if you have the sharp eye, which Doug has it, I have it, other people in our organization have it, like when we were watching news clips coming out of Libya when the NATO, not the U.S., remember Obama wanted to stay back and do a support thing, let the NATO forces go in to Libya. Those tanks that were rolling into Libya had Al-Qaeda flags on them. And that's what bugged me no end. I'll never forget sitting at my table working on another project altogether. It was something I was working on, something to do with the Boston bomber. I was doing some work with that. And I just happened to glance over at the TV and I'm looking at the live footage of these tanks rolling, you know, NATO's on it, you know, and just blasting away. It was on Fox. And I'm looking and I'm like, those are Al-Qaeda flags on those tanks. And if that doesn't send chills up your spine, this is your idea of a NATO-sanctioned military movement? So when you see something like that, and then you hear the stories coming out of Syria about, oh, we're backing, you know, Syrian revolutionists, Syrian freedom fighters. And you start looking and going into the videos. At a glance, most people would take that. That's the problem with everyone. They take things at face value. How many people in the United States looked at that same film clip and didn't see the Al-Qaeda flags for what they were? They just saw, you know, flags with some Arabic writing on them. And I know all of Al-Qaeda's flags, every one of them. There isn't a logo out there of a Sunni militant group that I don't have their logo. I have their flags. I got them. I know what the writing means, everything. We did it for years. But to the average Joe sitting in his living room going, go NATO, we're going to go kill Gaddafi. That's all they see. They see those tanks and that's it. You got to look deep into stuff, people. Look into it. And then they realize their folly because like a day later, there wasn't an Al-Qaeda flag to be seen. So they realized where they had messed up.
And
the new agencies did, Hillary Clinton did, all of them.
What you did there, I believe your revelation caused that to change. What you just said
could be because we started working first thing, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I know of people high up in government agencies that decided to retire.
Yes.
After the Libyan invasion and the Syrian thing going on, they decided to get out of it. You want to know what they said to me? They said to me what I said to Doug. We don't know who the good guys are anymore.
And that scared the living, you know, what out of me. It really did.
It scared
you said
me
that.
But when I start hearing it, from government people that are got, you know, 29 years in, and they're like, you know, I've only got, you know, a year to go, but I mean, I'm ready to go now.
Yeah.
And you hear that and you're like, wow. Because they know more than I do, obviously, in classified intelligence. What else do they know that I don't know? We're just scratching the surface on what they were dumb enough to put out on the media, or we've managed to go in and infiltrate a forum and get information from.
Which, yeah, yeah.
These guys, this is all high level security clearances that I could never achieve. And they're going.
But yet you did. And it is just so amazing how you went into areas they could not get into. You went in there. They asked for your creds.
Yeah.
Okay. You gave them the creds and then they locked you out and said, no, okay, this is classified.
Yeah. So I would send them and then I'd go to refer to them and I'd go, look, pull that up on the screen.
Yeah.
Well, we can't. It's classified.
Right.
I'm like, I sent it to you.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's classified. You know,
I never
understood that, you know, but I just, the fallacies and the things that you see when you work with these kind of people that I just finally, I quit working with them. I'm contributing here. I'm contributing to the delinquency of the United States.
That's a good, what you just said there is a very good, very important aspect because here's what I want to tell you very quickly. You've got your ability to listen to and watch podcasts such as Dan Bongino. Love the guy. Steve Bannon, love the guy. Okay. Rush Limbaugh, his replacement, whoever it might be, Bo Snerdly, Mark Levin and others. Love the people. Love them. Okay. And then you've got podcasters, you know, the tens of thousands of podcasters. Here's the difference between them and us. Okay. Again, you're going to get political stuff with the Bonginos and the Bannons and such. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong, but they don't go, in my view, they don't go as far as they need to go. And especially with Bongino, who's had the experience in various areas. All right. Here's the difference between listening to them and us. That man that you, not me, but Randy Taylor, he's lived the life and he's been in the trenches and he's done the work and he's been on places that you'll never go to ever, even in your wildest dreams, you'll never go to and done things that you'll never even, you wouldn't want to do, number one. And second of all, you wouldn't do on behalf of the United States of America and behalf of freedom. The difference between this platform and those other ones, and again, it's a difference. It's not that we're any better or any worse. The difference is we operate off of, and especially Randy Taylor operates off of experience, and we relay that experience to you.
And we take nothing at face value.
There it is. There it is. And that's why you should listen and view this platform, and especially when Randy Taylor and I break free from the standard. I don't mean to disparage the standard show, but we need some time to talk about these things because these things contribute to what we're seeing today. Does that make sense? And feel free.
Yes, absolutely. We've said it before. Everything is interwoven, and this has been going on for decades. Yep. This has been going on for half a century. There's more here than meets the eye. And as we go back, Doug and I are going to do these little short platform, little shows, and we're going to talk on different things. You're going to go, well, how does that relate to today? Well, if you listen to the show, by the time you get to the end of the show with us, you'll understand exactly how it relates today, because this is all part of that building blocks of the global cabal to enslave humanity. You can say what you want. They're trying to kill us. Okay. Plain and simple. All right.
That's right.
This has been going on for a long time. And the people that have been running around wearing Superman capes and saying, we're the good guys, are not the good guys.
It's difficult to tell, right?
It is, because you got to go through. I mean, come on. I was all for going and kicking Al-Qaeda's butt and whatever it took. I even supplied stuff to the government that we used for reasons to go into Iraq.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Doug can tell you that.
Yeah, and don't go any further.
I'm not going to say any more, but listen, after a while, that kept me awake at night, because I looked at it and I thought, why did I do that?
At the time, I had to.
Yes. And that's the thing. It's just like when you're in the military and something goes south and you say, well, you can torture yourself for years about it. At the time, it's what happened. It's how things played out. I couldn't change it. Or I chose not to change it for whatever reason at that precise moment in time. And when you're intelligence gathering and lives are on the line and people are talking about going to war, you've just had 3,000 of your citizens killed. There's a lot of things there. And it's hard. It's hard. I don't care how good you are in those circumstances. There's still emotion involved. Because at the end of the day, I'm still an American citizen. And there's a lot of fine lines you walk. And it's hard to explain those lines to you. People don't understand it.
Unless you live it.
And I guess that's the only way to put it. If you lived it, you'd understand what I'm saying. Doug's lived it. I've lived it. Some of the stuff that we've seen, shared, and all, we don't even talk about it anymore. We don't want to talk about it. But I think we're getting to a point where we need to start taking the pieces from the past, bring them forward, and hopefully by presenting them to you, it'll help things make more sense of what's going on today. Hopefully. Because It's the only way we're going to win. We've got to continue analyzing. We've got to the only way we're going to beat them is at their own game. And in order to understand their game, you have to analyze their game. And they've been at it for a half a century. And we've got to figure out, and I'm liking what I'm seeing at the local levels. We talked about this.
Yep.
It's imperative people get involved at the local levels, because it's the states can reach. The only reason states do what the federal government says is because of money. That's the only reason. Because of money or political reasons within amongst themselves, favors, things like that. But the main reason why states go along with the feds is because of financing, because of funds for infrastructure, for schools, for this and that. We've got to have people like your governors and your state legislators in Florida and Texas. What I'm seeing coming out of those states, I like, because they're standing up. They're changing things to keep voter fraud from happening.
And you know what? The states can tell the federal government to pound sand.
Yes, they can.
We live in a republic.
Thank you. That's what people need to understand. What the only way we're going to continue this, and we're seeing results, they're small. You're not going to see them everywhere in the media. You have got to go in and dig and dig and dig. But little reliable source at Reuters, for the most part, internationally, is unbiased. For the most part. There is bias in it. Every news organization has it. I don't care who you are. Okay. But you've got to go in. If you see something like, say, on Reuters, an analysis or something, okay, grab that information, then go dig on your own. People, quit taking things at face value.
That's right.
You have to, that has to stop, because propaganda, this only works if you're willing to accept it at face value. Anybody that investigates and digs, I know you're busy. I know that you got to cook dinner for the kids. I know you got to get them to bed. I know you got to go to work. I know you got to do this. You got to do that. But you know what? Take a few minutes and dig.
Yeah.
Quit taking things for what's just presented to you, because that's where they're sticking us. Stop it. Dig. And I admire a lot of our listeners out there. I get emails all the time. We've got some people out there that dig, and I like it. Because people send me links all the time, go, you know, watch this, watch that. I don't even pay attention to the link. What I pay attention is the words that you wrote.
That's, you know, there you
that
go.
That tells me whether you're just forwarding me a link or, hey, Randy, take a look at this, and here's why.
Uh-huh.
You know, but well, ladies and gentlemen,
we're out of time, man. I can't believe it.
Yeah. It's good to see everybody. But look, you folks, look forward to what we're doing. Keep up the work at local level, and please support the Hagmann Report. And thank you for those that do.
Amen to that. Randy Taylor, I'll be talking with you as long as I can talk, and we'll talk to you later on. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Randy, have a great weekend.
You too. You too. And happy Mother's Day. Oh, I'm kidding. No, folks, that was Randy Taylor. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Hagmann Report right here, at least temporarily, on the Global Star Radio Network. I'm kidding. Global Star Radio Network, Hagmann Report, HagmannReport.com. Bookmark that website, as well as Rumble and Brighteon. Welcome to the Hagmann Report. It is Friday, the 7th day of May, 2021, 106 years ago, the sinking of the Lusitania. Talk about propaganda, brainwashing, and such. Oh, it sunk by way of the German army. But, okay, why? Something to think about. Speaking of propaganda, from the first hour, Randy Taylor joined me in hour number one. Hour number two, it's going to be Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. What a great guy, a knowledgeable guy. And of course, him and his dad have a premier father-son radio show every day on the Global Star Radio Network, Ted and Austin Brower Show. That's Monday through Friday. For those people in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, you know, Monday through Friday. Do I need to count for you? Monday, Tuesday. Okay. So anyway, It's fantastic to have him here with me. Before I get to my guest, I he's part of the show, not really a guest. I want to ask you something. What feels great to you in a job list or in a things I got to get done list? You know what feels good to me? And I'm serious about this. It feels good when I'm able to pay off high interest credit cards to get a lower rate and save money, because I like to save money, because I'm a penny pincher all the way. You can refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. And I want to thank Lightstream for what they do for our audience. We've worked out a deal with them that I want to thank them for. Here's what the deal is all about. Lightstream. Remember that name, lightstream.com/Hagman. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average interest rate credit card interest rate, of over 18% APR. And there are no fees. You can get your money the same day that you apply. But Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. And that's exactly what they deliver. So here's what they worked out for us. Just for my listeners only, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's LightStream.com/Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman, HAGMANN. Remember, two N's on Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Subject or lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. You will be glad you did. I also want to mention this before I bring on Austin Brower. I don't even know if Austin knows about this. Does Austin know about this? Don't know. He will now. Now out. That's right. Look at this, folks. Those watching on Rumble or Brighteon or HagmanReport.com, here it is. What you've all been waiting for. And I mean that. In the dark of night, this is inspired by actual events. This kind of picks up where Stained by Blood left off. However, you don't have to have the first to get the second. This is on Amazon right now as we speak. All right? It's on Amazon. In the Dark of Night, Doug Hagman. You can get it in Kindle edition or paperback. And then we've got something special for you. And Eric the Tech, feel free to jump in on this. We have at HagmanStore.com, we've got... We ordered a special set of first edition books for this first printing books in the Dark of Night that I'll sign or I'll put a little note in there for whoever. And those will start shipping on the 17th because we'll get the books in on or about the 17th. And then as soon as we get the books in, I will start sending them out. Is that right, Eric the Tech?
That is correct. This is okay. A pre-order, but it's only 10 days away, so yeah, we'll start shipping in 10 days, and the orders came in.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for that. So you got Amazon or HagmanStore.com, and the book, I've already heard from certain people, the book is received high praise. And I want to thank Russ Dizdar. I want to thank Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue, especially. I want to thank Steve Quayle, my friend. I want to thank, oh my goodness, there's so many people to thank. Eric the Tech for his, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he put up with me, but he did. So thank you for that. Please check it out on Amazon. And I ask that when you finish the book, if you are so inclined, write an honest review. Okay, of the book, an honest review. I'm not asking for anything glorious or non-glorious, just honest. That's all I'm asking. All right, and tell friends about it as well. All right, with that, Austin Brower from healthmasters.com. Austin, let me tell you something, okay? I missed Monday. I missed Tuesday. I missed Wednesday. some ninja virus came in here and took over my body. I was seeing monkeys Sunday night. And right now I'm getting over it. All right. But I got to tell you, probably the reason I'm not dead or hospitalized is because of, your nutritional supplements from Health Masters. And I mean that, whatever I had, it got me good. It got me good, but I haven't had it, whatever this was, ever in a long time. I mean, I haven't had this bad in a long time. And, I was loading up on C, man. And I'll tell you what, the sore throat I had initially only lasted like a day. And then the gunkies lasted. So what can I tell you? So do I get my
mind? That's good to hear. I mean, you're bouncing back from that, Doug. Don't feel bad. There's a lot of people. There's some nasty stuff going around. I didn't get any sore throat or anything, but we had a stomach bug float through from our house from like Saturday until Tuesday. And the kids caught it first. Atlanta caught it. Everybody was throwing up. Luckily, it was short-lived. What I noticed, too, is I tried to do is I've never done this before. This was just something I tried randomly. I've never really thought about this. Because it's a virus, I figured might as well give it one shot of something because you couldn't really keep water down, you know, when you're throwing up like that. Every time you throw up, you just hurl up. Everything's horrible. So what I did was I kept adding colloidal silver to my water, which obviously I kept puking. But what I noticed was, you know, pretty much from the time I started getting sick to the time that I was pretty much done and able to start eating again was about 10 to 12 hours. At first I thought it was food poisoning, but I knew it wasn't because everybody else in the family had got it before me and it ran through pretty fast. So bounced back from it pretty quick. But yeah, there's a lot of strange stuff floating around right now. The more and more on our show today, Ted went into detail on how we're starting to see a lot of these viruses, whether or not they're from this spike protein, whether or not there's something related to this injection. I don't know, but there's some very strange things that are happening. We've been getting a lot of feedback from doctors all over the country that are telling us the very same thing. And ironically, at the same time now, we're basically starting segregation again in some states in the United States, if you've seen that. Governor Cuomo came out in New York and he basically said, you know, with the Yankee Stadium, with the Mets and everybody now when they play, they're going to have vaccinated seating, full capacity, great prices, free seats in some areas, and unvaccinated, they're going to get a little sliver in the back of the stadium, and they're going to be very expensive, and they're going to be 33% capacity, ironically. So they're bringing back segregation very slowly, except it's not based on race now. Now it's based on whether or not you were dumb enough to take an experimental gene editing therapy shot or you refuse to simply take that injection. This is interesting now to see this. And now in Germany, too, they just passed a bill in parliament that they want to start allowing people who have had the gene editing shot to pretty much go back to normal. They can open up their businesses. They can go shopping. They can do all these things. However, if you have not had this shot, well, you're still under restriction. You still got to quarantine. Still got to do all these things because you know what? You're a second class citizen. You haven't absolutely fallen on your knees and taken the shot and begged to be injected. So you pretty much, you're a peasant. You know, we don't want anything to do with you. You go to the back of the bus now, you unvaccinated peasant. And this is starting up all over the country. This is why DeSantis down here signed that bill that there will be no COVID passports. There will be no COVID restrictions, nothing. We're done with this now down here because he's already starting to see in factions of the state how unbelievably biased this can get and how this is being used as a tool to control a certain aspect of the population by coming in and saying, hey, as they said on CNN, here's your carrot on a stick. You take this shot and we'll let you have your freedoms back, as an analysis doctor said on there, which was very troubling. And I say, I don't need to have your permission, nor do I need to take my freedoms back. I already have them and I will live freely on my way. The only answer to tyranny is no thank you. That's it. That's all you have to say. We're not going to deal with this anymore in this country. And that's the biggest thing. Noncompliance is the biggest tool you can do. Defiance to a tyrannical demands, That's the best thing you can do. And that's exactly what we've been recommending everybody to do. But yes, also to making sure you keep your immune system strong, because there's a lot of grunge floating around out here. But I'm glad you're starting to feel better today, Doug.
Yeah. You know, it's again, I because I know I'm going to get emails saying, see, you said you felt good ever since. Well, you know what? I mean, hey, stuff happens. This is the first time in a number of years I got something. So
yeah, I can say that he does not get sick.
Thank you. I don't. And so this was like a ninja thing that came through, and I'm pretty sure somebody came in when I was snoozing and stuck me. And you know, anyway. All right. So, but you're right though on certain.
You got probed.
I got probed. I got actually beamed up, probed, and put back down, and I'm pregnant now. Okay. Oh man, you're exactly right. You know, civil disobedience. Here's what we're seeing. We saw in Vail, Arizona, parents go in to the school board meeting, and these little dweebs in the school board get so scared they ran out the back door because the parents were out there without masks and demanding that the mask policy be changed. So they ran out and scurried out. And the parents, what they did was they took over and says, all right, we're going to have a school board meeting right here and we're going to elect our own school board. And that's what they did in Vail, Arizona. And they're doing it in other places as this goes. And you know what? Fauci worshipers are scared to death. They're afraid. And finally we can see that, you know what? They ain't got no power. They ain't got no power over us if we show up, and we're doing that. And thank you for pointing that out. That's right.
Well, no, you nailed it on the head, Doug. That's what people have to realize now is all of this entire thing was done based on consent. We allowed them to come in and take the situation over. We allowed them to dominate the narrative, and we allowed them to tell us what to do. And we listened some cases, and a lot of people didn't, and a lot of people did. And now, you know, down here with Governor DeSantis, he signed that bill. The day that thing was signed, Lakeland Christian School and Southeastern University, my university I've graduated from twice, they both said absolutely no masks are required at all on campus under any circumstances now. Because what had happened was, and I found this out again, even in, say, like Polk County area, where there was no mask mandate in Polk County, you had health officials that basically had their little Gestapo suit on. They had their little swastika badge on their shoulder. They had their Gestapo hat, their Gestapo Iron Cross. And they were going to schools and saying, well, we know there's no mandate. We know there's no, you know, definition of having to have a mask in this county. But if you have any type of illness, we're now going to list you down as a contaminated school because you're refusing to enforce this. And so they had these little workarounds with these little Nazi pricks, so to speak. Excuse my language on that. These little Gestapo clowns that really thought they had gotten themselves something. I mean, now we have the power to go in and we get to tell people to put a muzzle on like a dog. We get to tell people to heal on a choke chain. I mean, we are this all-powerful agency now, the health department. And so the health department were the ones that really took this by the head and ran with it in a lot of these counties and cities. And so that's why so many cities now and a lot of counties, they've said, okay, we're dumping this now. We're done with it. We're not going to deal with the flack. We're not going to deal with the blowback. We don't have to. So now in Florida, we have a very interesting situation where if a business or a restaurant or a school still tries to mandate these masks, with no state requirement, with no city requirement, with no county requirement, and with the ability now of the governor to say the county, city, state cannot do any of these requirements, and businesses or, you know, companies or schools or restaurants still try to implement them, now you know it is absolutely 100% your requirement to blacklist them. Okay, we're done. No, I'm no longer going to support you at all under any circumstances. If you didn't already do so, I pretty much already did that in most cases. But if you haven't, because now they're simply doing it just to basically support die Fuhrer. That's what they're doing now. There is no evidence at all for the last year that these masks stopped anything. That's why when you saw states drop mask mandates, you didn't see COVID cases go spiking through the roof. because it was done. We ran through this last summer. Once Florida heat hit and we're 108 degrees down here with the heat index, what else lives outside? I mean, it's hard for viruses to be spreading unless you basically are going to an ice igloo bar or something, which they do have in Orlando. But it's not something that a lot of people were going to because they were closed down. So again, this is where we have found ourselves. And so it's so important to stand up for what's going on. Also, too, in other news, I saw this. And this is something to realize where this is headed. I saw this the other day, and this is very disturbing. And I want to give everybody a heads up on this so you understand what's been happening now. Social media for the last couple of years has been heavily infiltrated with trolls. I've talked about that on this show and our show repeatedly. What we're seeing now is Homeland Security has basically been authorized by the White House to go outside even further of what they had been allowed to do before, because technically, you know, to start doing surveillance and wiretapping and monitor and try to go into people's private social media accounts, you have to have a search warrant, even if you're Homeland Security. Now, granted, they drag that pretty much all regular information so they can find out what a lot's going on. But there's still little walls and hurdles they have to go over. Well, now the Biden administration, the bumbling buffoon, which he had nothing to do with this, by the way. This is the clowns that are behind him that are basically trying to run the show. They have now authorized Homeland Security to contract third-party security contractors to actually go in and infiltrate social media platforms, including private social media accounts, and basically try to spy on people on the back door and then give the information to Homeland Security. So what they found is Facebook has been doing this for years. They also did this with fact-checking. Facebook found that if Facebook, technically Facebook, fact-checks somebody on their site, then Facebook can have this backlash of what's going on. So if Facebook just said, we're not going to do anything, we're going to give it to a third-party agency and let them fact-check it. Well, we already know that third-party agency takes direct orders from Facebook, but it's a third-party agency on the books. So Facebook says, we don't have anything to do with this. These third parties, they fact-checked it. We're unbiased. We have nothing to do with this. They fact-checked it, so we're taking it down. Well, Homeland Security is doing that now, and it said now in a report coming out, a glimpse into what the coming war on domestic dissent could look like. Homeland Security intelligence agencies, rather than waiting for new powers and heightened funding, are now considering outsourcing surveillance work to research groups. DHS is limited how it conducts surveillance. It cannot, for example, impersonate a right-winger on a forum, chat room, or private social media. However, a third-party researcher, journalist, or nonprofit can do this. According to DHS officials, the agency wants to use research firms to gather the data it's forbidden from gathering itself. The FBI and National Security Council are reportedly coordinating this effort. It is unclear how these firms are going to go about this. However, some of the biggest names in the area include so-called anti-hate groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League. Oh, yeah, here we go. These are real unbiased guys. And fact-checking firms like Bellingcat. These organizations have been insanely pro-liberal and anti-conservative their entire inception. But they're saying now, in order to help fight misinformation and foreign interference and violence extremism now, they're going to explore with contractors to help them dig in and find out these potential domestic terrorists. This is insane to me. This is why I tell people, be careful what you put online and be careful what you put in chats and forums, because this is taking it to a whole nother level of East Germany Stasi surveillance. Yes. That we're about to see crack down after we saw January 6th. Now it's about to escalate even further, Doug.
Exactly. Now, 30 plus years ago, I was an operational asset for the Department of Justice and FBI. All right. And I would do things like that. All right. So in other words, but you have to understand, not conduct surveillance on patriots, but if you got a bad guy and for some reason you cannot get this bad guy, okay, you know, and you know, the guy is dirty as all get out, whether it was a homicide or whether it was a multi-million dollar fraud or whatever it might be, the Department of Justice, when it had scruples, and I say that kind of, okay, would say, all right, we can't, but you can, but we can't tell you to, but certainly if you do, then this is what, you know, what we would benefit us. And ultimately the bad guy would be taken down. Okay. And, you know, stuff that I would do, for example, would be used as evidence to get the search warrant. And then, sometimes I would be there at the time of the search warrant, which is always fun. Yeah, it's always fun. I won't go any further there except to say, my goodness, when I can leave doors unlocked all day long for whatever reason, they still break them down. Anyway, I said that only to say this. We are right now 180 degrees opposite of where the representative republic was 30, 40, 50 years ago. And it's now against the patriots. It's against the people who want to see this country survive as it was intended. And you know what? The people that you're talking about, in my view, are dirty. They have no morals. They have no sense of right and wrong. They've got certainly no scriptural basis for what they're doing. If anything, they're doing the work of the devil, in my view. Okay. I say that from experience, not recent experience, but compared to what it was. So you're 100% right. And this is something we have to watch very carefully. And thank you for saying that. By the way, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. If you haven't done so already, Healthmasters, in my view right now, that's the only reason I'm still sucking air today. Okay. Based on last weekend is Healthmasters. Because as soon as I started feeling bad, I started taking vitamin C. And I'll tell you what, that got me over the bad, the worst of the worst. Okay. Yeah. It's still hanging on, but so what? I'm still sucking air. The immune system booster or support kit right there that you're looking at, worth its weight in silver. I will tell you right now, order that tonight. Folks, do it, because I don't want you to get too close to the speaker. I don't want to give anything to you, you know, especially if you're not wearing a mask. So order that, as well as the food buckets. I got to tell you, the food buckets are fantastic. Even if you don't need them, eat them. It's good. As well as the product of the week, folks. Every week they got a product of the week. And I want to thank you for that. What is it, Eric the Tech? I can't see that. Say it again. B-Complex. That is a B-Complex is one of the best. I'll tell you what. I would stack your B-Complex up against any other B-Complex on the market. Yours is by far the best. They're all the best, actually. Go to healthmasters.com, and I mean this sincerely. I don't get paid to say this. Healthmasters.com, they've saved my bacon. And, you know, they the products, you know, I had problems with my blood sugar before. The products the regimen that I was put on by Healthmasters, they fixed my blood sugar. Okay, can you believe that? That's simple. And, of course, while you're shopping there, click on the right-hand side. You see that blue box? They've got a radio show, Ted and Austin Brower. If you're not listening to that, the one-hour download, oh, my goodness, you are missing out. If you only have an hour to listen to a show, heck with ours. Listen to Ted and Austin Brower. I'm telling you, man, you'll get more out of that hour than you will in 6 hours of other programming. That's healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. It's linked off of HagemanReport.com. And I want to say thank you again for being part of our show. All right, Austin, continue, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And I encourage people as well, like you just said, compare our B-Complex formula to anybody else on the market as far as the actual quality of ingredients, the dosage of the ingredients as well. Because a lot of times you see B-Complex formulas and they'll just put down, you know, the name of the B vitamin. We break it down all the way to the exact formula that's in there so you can compare and contrast. And I encourage people to do so. I have nothing to hide. Anybody that uses a lot of these formulas, and granted, this is something I do rarely on a basis unless it's a very specific formula. It took a long time to research. But very simplistic formulas that are very effective, you don't have to hide what's in them. A lot of these companies, I'm not knocking anybody's name, they always like to have these proprietary blends. And they put all these names and all this whole formula together of all these fancy supplements. And granted, a lot of them are good nutrients. They're probably high quality nutrients as well. But the problem with it is it'll say proprietary blend, and they'll have, you know, alpha lipoic acid, B complex, you know, N-acetylcysteine, resveratrol. It'll say, you know, 1800 milligram proprietary blend. Well, the problem with that formula is you have no idea what you're actually getting in it. You know that it has that ingredient in it because that's what they're claiming, but you don't know the dosage on it. All of our products are assayed and tested. We have everything basically manufactured in an FDA-approved laboratory. That is one of the reasons why they're so specific on the ingredient list, because we want to make sure there's nothing anybody can come back and say, hey, guess what? This isn't what's in here. I'm like, absolutely not. You better go check your research, buddy, because I know exactly what's in there because I look at the assay formulas when they get done with this. So I encourage everybody, go compare and contrast if you want and actually look at what's in stuff. I've had numerous people send me emails. I've asked them, please don't do this, but people still do it, and I just tell them I don't do it. They send me formulas from other companies, and they go, well, this is what I'm taking right now. Tell me why yours is better. And I used to get on, I legitimately used to get on these emails, and I'd sit there, and I would write out like a 2 or 3 paragraph detail, and I'd compare and contrast, and I would do all the research on it. And quite frankly, 99.99% of the time, ours was always significantly better. Well, then they come back and say, okay, that's cool. Well, I think this other product, what about this one? Why is your better? And after a while, I go, okay, listen, if you don't care enough to do your own research and spend 20 or 30 minutes, then I can't help you there. I don't have the physical time to sit on the computer all day long and respond to every single person and compare your vitamin you're taking from Walmart and tell you why it's so crappy and tell you why mine is so much more advanced. I don't physically have the time or energy to do that anymore. Quite frankly, it's counterproductive. So if you want to, I encourage people, do your own research on it. I tell you that with everything. I tell you that with the same news articles, I tell you that. If somebody's telling you that you don't need to believe anybody else, you only need to believe them, don't do your own research, don't question authority, do not look at anything else, that means you need to go out of your way to look at everything else that's going on. I'll tell you that right now. Because everybody has the right to ask questions and do your own research. And I've always stood on top of that, and I always will. That's why I have such an issue with what they're doing now, Doug, with Homeland Security doing exactly what you talked about, where they used to do this to try to use it against really, really bad people. Now they're using it to dragnet the entire Patriot community. And the sick part about this is now, how many people are going to get wrapped up in this dragnet of just surveillance and monitored and get lumped into these categories when they most of the time aren't involved in anything illicit whatsoever? They may make a comment on a chat. They may make a comment on a forum, but regardless, they're staunch American patriots. And as we saw, the absolute invasion of people's rights and violation of their constitutional rights after January 6th was unfathomable. And now, as we see, it's getting escalated further and further and further. Have conversations with people in person still. Be very careful as far as on making very specific topics on forums and comments. And it's ironic to me. I'm just going to say this. It's ironic right now, Doug, that we have groups like BLM terrorist groups, Antifa terrorist groups in Portland yesterday drawing AK-47s and rifles on drivers that are trying to drive through their own neighborhood and travel peacefully on their way while they get blocked off in traffic and get beat out of their trucks. But yet, if anybody questions what's going on with the stolen election, if anybody questions what's going on with this insane takeover, this communist takeover of our country, oh, you're domestic extremist terrorist. You need to be snuffed out. Well, what about the videos we just saw of Antifa walking down the street in neighborhoods with AK-47s and stopping people in their cars at gunpoint because people are trying to travel freely unmolested on their way? We just going to ignore that? We're going to pretend that didn't happen? We just going to act like this is the new normal now in horrific communist liberal cities like Portland? Is that where we are really at now? And I told people on the show today, I said, you need to understand your laws very carefully. So in Florida, DeSantis made it totally legal. If you are blocked by protesters and you feel your life is in danger, you run them over. Nobody has the right to stop you in your vehicle, threaten your life, and stop you from proceeding and draw weapons on you and force you to sit there and you can't run into them because you'll get charged with basically, you know, hitting a pedestrian. This is what is so important right now. And you have to understand that. And I think I said on the show this morning, in states like Florida, get out of the situation as fast as you can. Don't get out of your vehicle. That's just a fact. You need to make sure you get out of the situation quickly. Now, if you get boxed in by other vehicles and you are completely boxed in, handle yourself accordingly. And if the last case scenario, get out of the vehicle if you basically have to deploy. But make sure if you get out of the vehicle, you have the ability to take a place where you can get cover. And you have the ability to basically get yourself some decent cover and concealment if needed. What a lot of these people did in this video yesterday is one guy, he jumps out of the truck, pulls his pistol. He's surrounded by like six guys with rifles. The other guy comes up behind him and tackles him, and they basically curb stomp him half to death. He's going to go to the hospital.
While you're talking about that, let's play that video. We do have it queued up here. Thank you, Eric the Tech, for being on the ball with this.
Let everybody see this. This is America right now.
This, you're right. This is America. And WTF, okay? There's a lot wrong with this. And, you know, I'm old. I'm grouchy. And I'm armed, okay? So it wouldn't have played out this way. I don't know if I'd be still sucking air today, but I can tell you what, it wouldn't have played out this way. Go ahead and play this.
You better not! You better fucking not! You better fucking not! You better fucking not! Put your fucking gun down! Put your fucking gun down! Hey, back the fuck up!
Sorry about
Leave.
That. Bitch.
Get out of here now! Get out now! Leave! Leave! Fucking Lee! Lee! Don't you fucking dare! Get the weapon! Get the weapon! Get the weapon! Get him on the ground!
It's BLM and Antifa. Guy, they stopped a guy in the middle of the road, as you said. All right, they prevented him from going. He got out of the car. He had a handgun against, what, four or five BLM with AK and AR platforms. I'm not sure exactly what they were. And they beat him, and subsequently, now there's video further on, and I apologize for the language. We didn't have time to edit it out. All you would have heard was a beep. Anyway, so there it is. I mean, you're right. This is America today. And you know what? No one was arrested. No one.
No, I pulled up the same thing. I tried to pull up arrest records. I tried to pull up research on it. I could not find one single incident of law enforcement arresting anybody at all. Now, flip the script on that. You have a right-wing militia group protesting in the middle of the street with AK-47s, and all of a sudden they stop a passerby in the middle of the road and basically give him no choice but to draw his weapon. They draw down on him, jump on him, beat him half to death. Dude, you would see that video on every single mainstream media outlet, and they would say the domestic terrorists in this country have to be disarmed. They cannot be allowed to do this and terrorize these neighborhoods. This is not a way for America to live. Crickets. Crickets on mainstream media. Won't even talk about what happened yesterday. Won't even bring it up on CNN at all. Nothing. Crickets. Zero. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Like being down here in the Florida swamp. Frogs and crickets. Nothing to be heard but the sound of nothing. This is what they're promoting right now. This is what they're pushing. And this is why I talked on our show earlier today. It's crucial right now, my friends, that you have preps in place that you need. Whether or not it's your security measures, whether or not you need extra ammo, whether or not you need some extra stored food. The reason why I keep telling everybody to get prepped is because in cities like this, now in some, a lot of areas of Florida, Texas, stuff like that, you're not going to have this much pocket of nastiness. Maybe the liberal areas like Tampa or Miami, but a lot of areas, the conservative people are already on the same page. But in areas like Portland and stuff, when stuff starts going in full anarchy and police are like, dude, we're done. We're not responding to calls anymore, which is pretty much what they did here. How are you going to get out of the house to go to the store and get food? You're not. You're not going to want to go to the store because, quite frankly, you may not be able to get to the store and get back. You need to basically stay where you're at, secure your perimeter, build your neighborhood, basically security, and go from there. This is why I continue to tell everybody this, and this is what I also told everybody on the show this morning. If you have the ability to do so, keep a long gun in your vehicle whenever you basically are going out on a trip somewhere. I keep one with me all the time. That or a 12-gauge shotgun. I like Shockwaves. They're short barrel. They're great for close range inside or outside of a vehicle. You can train and deploy them quickly. And but even Mossberg, you know, 18 5-inch barrel, those are fine as well. Long gun's the best. you know, AR-15 platform, short barrel with a brace, or SBR, whatever you prefer.
And they make a statement. And they, yeah. You know, they make a mess and they make a statement from the mess.
They do. And the thing about it is, it's not that you're running around with this because you want to go be Rambo. It's the fact that if you have to get out of your vehicle and you have to ditch your vehicle for something, and you got people like you just saw in this video running around your streets. I love my Glock 43X. It's great. I love Kimber 1911s. Guns are great. You know, 8-9 round magazine, 10 round magazine. I don't walk around in full battle rattle. I work all day. I don't have the ability or time to carry 30, 40, 50, 60 rounds of handgun ammunition on me all day just for the fact that it's unbelievably uncomfortable. I've done it before. You know, I can usually carry a spare mag in my basic, you know, carry pistol. That goes out real quick when you're going against people with other rifles. Not to mention, as Doug just said, you get in a gunfight with a pistol, you're trying to shoot at people that got rifles. A, your length and your basically distance that you're going to be accurate is going to be much shorter than theirs, and you're not going to make as big of a bold statement. You start running through 5.56 rounds when people start chasing you down the street, all of a sudden, well, this guy's coming at something hot. You got a little 380 or a little 32 piece shooter, the 5 or 6 round mag, you're going to squeeze off a mag and you're going to go, oh, crap, now I'm dead. So I encourage people, know your situation, know your area, and plan accordingly. But having a backup rifle in the vehicle, especially when you go on a long trip somewhere, if you don't live in one of these areas, but you're going to one of these areas, like you're going to Orlando or you're staying the night or you're going on vacation, always travel with that. And of course, know your gun laws in each state. Make sure you understand your laws with this stuff. But it's that time now, Doug. That video, there's, like you said, there are numerous other videos. A lot of them are also horrific language. So beware on that as well. But understand that this is becoming the new normal now. This is the Bolshevik Revolution starting. This is exactly what happened in Russia identically, almost right out 100 years ago. You could not time it any better. They're doing it over again in the United States, Bolshevik Revolution 2.0 America. And they're showing us where they're going with this. That's why you didn't see the Biden regime come outside and do a press conference today. They didn't come out and say, dude, these Antifa terrorists, these BLM terrorists walking down residential neighborhood streets with AK-47s, stopping traffic, look, they blocked this guy in. They blocked him in with a Jeep. And then they basically attempted to surround him with rifles. As you can see right there, I'm not making this up. Not a single person was arrested. Nothing at all. This is the new normal that they're trying to promote right now. So if you don't already do so, I recommend you train. If you don't have a ton of ammunition to expend in training, dry drills, practice vehicle tactics. High probability when this stuff happens, it's going to happen with vehicles. So I encourage everybody, this is what's happening. You can choose to realize it's happening, or you can live in basically a biased state of mind and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to stick my head in the sand. This isn't going to happen right now. We need to wake up. America is under siege in a lot of these cities. I mean, look, this is a residential neighborhood. There's cars parked on both sides of the road. This is downtown Portland.
To take a look at this, folks, if you're, by the way, if you're listening to this by way of audio, go to HagmanReport.com and click on this episode with Austin Brower and take a look at this area. Austin, here, I have a question for you, okay? Now, I don't know if this particular area was, spontaneous. In other words, whether they gathered in this area or whether they ended here, but here's my question for you, because if this was in my neighborhood, how can I put this without getting in trouble? If this is my neighborhood, the CSI team would be.
Walking right beside him. This is nuts.
It is nuts. Okay. Yeah. But why?
See, that right there. That's right there where. He should have stayed in his vehicle and he should have left. They were banging on his truck. If you watch the video, they were hitting it, kicking it, keying it, and he got super mad and got out. The problem with it is at that point in time, when you have that large of a group around you and you're by yourself, the paintwork on your truck, as sad as it is, live to fight another day in that situation. And so he was boxed in and they were basically goading him. They were trying to get him to do something. They were basically vandalizing his vehicle. And then that's why he jumped back out after they had weapons pulled on him. And so this sad again is where we live in right now. And yeah, apparently they had a some BLM rally that they wanted to do, and they took over the entire street and started walking down through all these residential neighborhoods. And the problem is, you know, people have a right.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, people have a right basically to travel freely on their way. You don't have a right to stop out in front of traffic and block people from being able to travel. It's not that. This was not a parade in downtown Portland. So again, this is just where we're at right now. And at the same time that we have this going on, Doug, we now have a full mockery of our United States military. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, one of my buddies is retired Marine Corps, you know, he's staunch Marine, got utmost respect for him. And he sent me an article, and it was showing, it said, history was made on Friday with the first ever all-gay U.S. Navy helicopter crew as they tweeted along with pictures of the homosexual flyers. And they had their gay flag and their parade and everything. They were the first gay helicopter crew, and said during the previous week, the U.S. Air Force announced that the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning initiative team has now formally established under the umbrella of the Barrier Analysis Working Group in the U.S. Air Force. Now, this is an all-out just embarrassment to the U.S. military. Here's the thing that I'm getting at. If you are an individual who's homosexual and you're in the U.S. military, guess what? You're still a service member. Nobody cares that you're queer. Nobody cares that you're straight. Did you serve in the military? Yes, I served in the military. Then why do you have to be a queer service member? Why do you have to be a gay service member? Why do you have to be an actively, predominantly production, huge escapade theater producing gay service member? It's to promote the agenda. The thing the longest time was before, basically like, don't ask, don't tell. If you're involved in something, the privacy of your own home or wherever you're at, that's on you. But going out now and saying we're the first openly gay U.S. Navy helicopter crew, what? What about the first openly homosexual or heterosexual helicopter crew? They get any recognition? They get any recognition for being a heterosexual helicopter crew? They get to fly a straight pride flag? They get recognition and protection because they're straight? Why all of a sudden is it now, if you want to be listed on one of these names, you get to have this huge banner behind you? Everybody needs to know that you're a gay service member. You either served the military or you didn't serve the military. You're active duty or not active duty. What, we start putting, I'm queer active duty? Is that what we're doing now? So U.S. Navy, I'm sorry you guys are allowing this to happen. This is an embarrassment. I mean, the Air Force, I don't know if this is going to happen next. Marines, Marines don't go gay. But we'll just leave it at that. But everybody, this whole thing is an embarrassment, Doug. This right now, though, is exactly what they're trying to do. You subvert the U.S. military. You make them a joke to the entire world. At the same time, you allow the Bolshevik Antifa BLM terrorists to run around the streets with semi-automatic weapons, terrorizing neighborhoods, and call it normal because they're using their First Amendment speech, right? Because that's totally okay. What happened to our First Amendment speech on January 6th? What happened to standing up and saying, no, this is a stolen election, we're not going to accept it? That is extreme terrorism. Homegrown domestic extremist terrorism. If we can add any more words to it, they will. That's not okay. Bam, walk down Portland with an AK, pointing at people, telling people they can't go on their way. Nah. That's First Amendment, baby. You have every right to do that now. This is how the up becomes down, the inverted becomes all around, and now we're seeing good is bad and bad is good. And it's sad now. And this is why it's so important that people really start getting aggressive in their local state and basically counties and work something from the ground up. If you don't like where you're at, change where you're at. Some of these areas are basically, they're hellholes now. A lot of areas of California, Portland's basically a failed city. I mean, that's pretty clear now. If I was conservative in Portland, I would already be looking as an exit strategy, multiple options. There's so much free money out there from the government right now. It's insane with unemployment, with relocation, with COVID stuff. I mean, it's nuts how much stuff is floating around out there. It's pretty much everybody has the opportunity to change where they're at right now. If you want to live in an area like that, then that's up to you. But again, understand that once it goes sideways, areas like this in Portland, that everything's pretty much fine right now, so to speak. There's nothing significant going on right there. But yet, this is already going on. Just imagine how horrific it's going to be when these communist Bolshevik Antifa BLM terrorists decide they're going to take over huge swaths of these towns when there's zero law enforcement to be found because law enforcement is at home protecting their family. That's when you have to start thinking about when it really gets down to it, Doug.
You know, I'm almost okay if the law enforcement is not going to do their job. And I'm pro-law enforcement in general, except when they act like stormtroopers and, you know, attempt to enforce unconstitutional edicts and such.
Yes.
However, I don't know. I'm looking at these videos. I'm watching the news. And my question is, why haven't the rational, sane people in Portland gotten together and changed things in whatever manner they want to? Or are there no rational, sane people in Portland? I don't know. I mean, it's very possible that everyone is happy and clappy. I don't know. I don't know. I'm done. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, but again, if that's what they want to do in their own little city, then, I mean, have at it. You know, we've seen this in a lot of other areas. But that's why it's so important. You really know, especially on these local levels, that you have a really well-defined group that you know is there and what you're voting for. And you maintain, like Florida, we're another state that's maintaining our voting strength because we're not going to have what happened in the federal election, you know, as far as in the overall election. Happened down here in Florida. We're not going to allow this thievery to occur unchecked. It's not okay in a constitutional republic. And so, but it has to happen at the grassroots level, the base level, you know, and that's why I was so proud of these schools when they came out the other day and they said, we're done. Yeah. We don't care what the school board says. We don't care what the health department says. This is a government, right, a governor executive order. We are done now. They cannot do anything to us anymore. They cannot fine us. They cannot suspend us. They cannot fire us. Nothing. And so in a state that's doing that, dude, you got no excuse not to stand up. We don't have any excuse down here in Florida right now. That's the only thing. Where we're at and what we have and what we were just given and what was handed to us on a silver platter, basically like, here's a constitutional republic. See if you can keep it, like Franklin said. So the people that don't want to support this down here in Florida, they need to get the hell out of Florida. And I mean that sincerely. I don't mean that disrespectful. If you don't want to be down here, if you don't want to support a republic, then you need to go to another state like Portland. They'll love you up in Portland. If you want to vote for hardcore leftist communist, go to Portland. We don't want that crap down here in Florida. Everybody's sick of it. And a lot of people are really to the point now where I think people after last year are starting to wake up and realize, okay, the government's not here to help you. They're not here to protect you. They're sure as heck not here to keep you safe. They're the ones that are pushing every single day with the biggest propaganda blitz we've ever seen in history to push a gene editing experimental injection into you and tell you that it's good. They basically want to poop on you and tell you it's caviar and tell you to eat it. That's what they're doing to everybody. As gross as that analogy is, that's what you need to think about. When they're telling people to get a gene editing shot that we see, I mean, there's another girl I saw earlier, 16-year-old girl, I think it was Wisconsin. She got the shot, went to cardiac arrest, had to have CPR done. A couple days later, pronounced her dead right after getting shot. So toxic, her body just completely shut down. What the heck is in this stuff, and why in the world do we think it's okay for people to be telling you you have to get it? Nobody has the right to tell you you have to put something in your body, period. And once you take this shot, once you consent to this, they pretty much own you. Not just from whatever technology they're injecting. I'm not talking about that. I mean that they then have won because they have made you go against your will, against your instinct, against what you believe, and completely compromised it by injecting experimental RNA gene editing therapy inside of you that Pfizer even said from the very beginning, we do not understand what this is going to do long term. We don't know if it's going to work. We don't know what it's going to do. we don't even know. It's not going to stop you from getting it. It's not going to stop you from spreading it. It's basically just supposed to help with symptoms. Well, that's by definition a treatment. So this isn't a vaccine. It's a treatment. But if it's a treatment, the treatment's much worse than the actual COVID itself. I've already had COVID. Almost everybody knows had COVID. The side effects that I'm hearing about, the side effects that I'm getting emails about from, directly from people that have family members that decide to go with this, you kidding me? Some horrific stuff. Even the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event System, CDC's did another dump. We're like 4,600 people the CDC is admitting had died directly from the shot. And that's what they're admitting to. And we know that it's usually a minuscule amount what they admit to on this. So what are we going to start operating 1,000, 2,000 a month? That's just normal. You know, it's 5,000, 2,000 people a month die from the vaccine. That's it's for the greater good. You know, I'm sick of hearing that comment. I've heard that a lot, Doug. And you know what I've found is when somebody tells you for the greater good, it's rarely ever beneficial to you, and it's almost always beneficial to them. You think about that. When they start telling you, it's for the greater good, you need to do it for the greater good. You look back and go, that doesn't benefit me at all. It benefits you a lot. It doesn't benefit me one bit. So why is it for the greater good if it benefits you? That means it's just benefiting you and not for me. So why am I going to do it then? People need to start asking that because we're going to start seeing more and more stuff over the next couple of years, all the way from this electric vehicle push to the 5G rolling into the 6G push to the full-blown restrictions and lockdowns of what people can and can't do to the environmental change. That's the next one people need to be aware about. COVID's been the template. The next one's going to be basically the global warming narrative, the environmental saving narrative. We need to do lockdowns, restrictions, and preventative measures. That will be because once tyrants get a handle, there's no living with them anymore. Once they have control, they never give it back peacefully. And that's why it's so important. People, keep your body strong. Keep exercising. Keep your immune system up. Keep your endurance good. Especially if you have the ability to do so and train and exercise, at least be getting in 2 to 3 days a week of exercise. Stay strong, keep your immune system up there, and continue to fight the truth, or fight for the truth of what's going on right now. Get this information out there, Doug. This is not a time to be playing around.
No, amen. And you know, as you were talking there too, I was thinking what you said earlier about the segregation, especially about vaccines and such. You know, vaccinated section versus unvaccinated section. If the so-called non-vaccine worked, why would anyone care? Hey, I'm, you know, protected from any kind of, COVID-related virus. I got my shot. I got my jab, you know, so I'm immune from any of that. So why have two different sections aside from, number one, it doesn't work, and number two, it's not a vaccine. It's, as you say, it's a GMO therapy, if you will. And and thirdly, if it's really not about a virus at all, but more about control and identifying those who won't comply, you know, I mean, that's just my thought.
No, that's 100%. And the problem is, nobody can answer that question. Every time I've brought this up to people that are in an argument or debate with me about this, and I go, dude, if somebody's had their shot, why the heck do they care if I have my shot? You're protected, right? You got your COVID shot. You believe in your COVID shot. You got your little RNA technology. You're producing your spike proteins now. You're spitting them out everywhere you go. You're good. Well, it's about herd immunity. Well, if it's about herd immunity, then the vaccine that you took, allegedly vaccine, is useless because you're not getting herd immunity unless everybody has already had COVID and they're immune to it, because this isn't making you immune to COVID. It's only making your symptoms less. So your injection you're getting isn't going to produce herd immunity. So that argument, that rebuttal is useless. It doesn't even make sense, actually, when you actually look at the technology and what Pfizer said about the shot. So try again, Buttercup. Well, it's just everybody needs to get it because, you know, it's the right thing to do. It's for, you know, it's for the greater good. It's for the
there greater. Is, yeah.
I've heard so many. That's why I've heard so for the greater. What's the greater good? For me to get an experimental RNA gene editing shot so you feel better that I have my shot? How about this? How about I just lie to you and say I had the shot? You don't know any difference. I stay healthy all the time. I don't get sick. If I do get sick, it's short-lived, like you. Yep. I mean, pump the vitamin C, pump the D3, kick out of it after a couple days, you kick it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, I identify as a vaccinated individual now. How about that? So we're going to play that game. I identify as vaccinated, to shut up. Don't talk to me again about it. Well, you can't do that. Whoa. I can't do that. But this grown cross-dressing man can say, I identify as a female now. Well, how does that work? How is this, you know, rules for thee and not for me? How does this go about now? So these guys can pick and choose what gender they want to pick based on what day they wake up and how they feel. But if I identify as vaccinated because I have already had COVID and I'm immune to it, I have an incredibly good immune system. And since the terminology of vaccinated means nothing anymore, because the shot you got is not a vaccine, it's a treatment gene therapy. Vaccinated just means whatever we want to label it now, right? So I identify as vaccinated.
And you know, you bring up a good point, because I saw this public service announcement with a bunch of doctors, and one doctor toward the end of this thing said, well, you know, we had a vaccine for polio and now polio is virtually gone. Do you see the connection? There's a connection there. Making a reference, of course, to the injection, you know, 104 injections and the Chinese Communist Party virus. So my question to you is, what's the difference between the polio vaccine and what we're seeing today?
Well, first off, that's a great question. First off, in order for a vaccine, a true vaccine, it needs to have a denatured or dead or very, very light virus, the part of the actual virus in the vaccine. Secondly, a vaccine, in order to even need to be required, it needs to be highly contagious and highly deadly. Polio was barely that, but it still met that criteria. Secondly, nobody wants to address the unbelievably debilitating side effects that a lot of people had from getting that injection. Thirdly, COVID is nothing even like polio. The vast majority of people that get it are completely healthy. Polio didn't just go after people that were morbidly obese, that didn't want to exercise, and they were old. It went all across the board. COVID doesn't go at hardly anybody unless they're extremely old or they're very overweight, unhealthy, unbelievably sick, and with multiple comorbidities. So they're not even in the same category. Fourthly, COVID shot, they've already said, won't even work against the new variants that are coming out, because apparently every week we come up with a new variant of COVID. It just apparently that's the way it works now. Last year didn't do anything. This year now it's the new weekly variant. We got one in Brazil, we got one in South Africa or South America, we got one in basically, you know, UK, we got one in India now. Every week we got a new boogeyman that they have to go after. Well, they've already said this shot's completely useless against it. It doesn't work at all. So you need booster shots now. So now you're going to need booster shots for a virus that has a 99.97% survival rate for the vast majority of the population. So comparing polio and comparing COVID is like comparing watermelons to sponges. They're not even the same category at all when you look at all these basis points, and including the fact that polio was, again, not age-specific. Kids could get this, and it was debilitating. Kids can't even have any negative side effects from COVID in the research that came out. What they say, across the entire country, children under the age of 19, there's been like 300 recorded deaths of COVID, and almost all of those had secondary aspects as far as how they died. Drowning, basically pneumonia, all kinds of other stuff that were basically comorbidities or other situations that came about. So there was no factor in even needing a shot for a virus that once you get it, you have pretty much immunity, because they even came out and said, we don't know how long you're going to be immune to COVID once you've had it. Okay, so you don't know, then why do we need a shot? If everybody gets it, then you have the legendary herd immunity. Everybody gets it, survival of the fittest, natural selection, you get over it. But now we feel like we have to be the world's policeman. Oh, it doesn't matter if you're basically really, really overweight and unbelievably sick and take horrible care of your body. We need to protect you. And again, it goes right back to what I've talked about for years now. Nobody wants to have accountability for their actions. It's my doctor's responsibility to protect me. It's my friend's responsibility to take care of me. It's my doctor's responsibility to keep me healthy. I can't be responsible that I'm 650 pounds and I'm diabetic. That's not my fault. That's my doctor's fault for letting me eat too much food and not giving me proper medication. That's what all of this goes down to promote now. is nobody wants to be accountable because we've all been told it's somebody else's responsibility and it's somebody else's fault. That is the problem that I have with the entire premise of, oh, well, polio did this and COVID did this. They're not even the same category, Doug, when you actually look at them, where they basis to basis points.
Great answer, and nothing. I mean, I expected that exactly from you. Folks, in Austin, God bless you, man. I love you.
Thank you, my friend. I
can't believe time flew so quickly. Take care of yourself, folks. It's up to you. Go to healthmasters.com. Do it today. Healthmasters.com. Please make yourself strong to fight off whatever gunk's out there. It works. Healthmasters.com. Doug Five, maybe?
I'll activate it right now for you.
All right. There you go. All right, folks. God bless you. Hey, don't forget, in the dark of night, Amazon or Hagman's store. God bless.